why. Everybody say, why I? Have you ever asked yourself why you believe certain things? Have you ever asked yourself? I would strongly suggest, especially during this series, that you ask yourself why you believe certain things. This series is called Why I, because I'm explaining why I believe in certain things, whether it be last week. What did we talk about last week? Why I believe the Bible. We talked about different aspects of the Bible, that I believe it's historically, prophetically, all kinds of different ways that we can prove the Bible is true and accurate. Now, this week, we're going to talk about something that is very much a passion of mine. It's something that I absolutely love. I love it as much as, maybe sometimes even more than, the Word of God. All right? And you say, what could that possibly be? Let me just tell you what it is. You ready? The local church. Everybody say local church. That means right here. Did y'all get that? That means right here. Let me just say this. I love the local church. I love it. I love this. I love this place. I love church. I love God's people. I love, if you can't figure it out, I love the local church. I really do. I think this is what it's all about. In my world, this is what it's all about. You say, well, what exactly are you talking about? I'm talking about a group of people gathered around Jesus and loving on Jesus, worshiping him, lifting him up, being a light to the world, and we all get to participate at the same time. I just love it. I love the local church. And hopefully and prayerfully during this sermon today, you will absolutely fall in love with the local church. And more specifically, with this local church. Because here's the deal. If you're here this morning and you don't love this church, why are you here? Why are you here? I mean, I will strongly suggest to you, not that I'm trying to run people off, but I will tell you this. If this isn't your church, if this isn't a place where you want to love, let's get you to a church where you can love it and be all about it. Because I'm here to tell you right now, straight up, I love this place. I love what we're doing. I dig it. This week we got to minister to over 100 kids each and every week. Sow the word of God into them. I mean, come on, you know? I think about those of you that maybe didn't know, Saturday they had at the beach, Kokomo Beach, the church paid for the kids to go to the Kokomo Beach and swim and have a good time. Why? That's the church getting together, the church building fellowship within itself. I tell you, it's the church. It's the local church. Now, let me just go, before I get there, I want to lay out a definition of what church is, all right? From the Bible, or better yet, from this. Here we go. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. You see that? And from the crab version of the Bible, you say, what's the crab version? That's the Charlie Riley Amplified Bible. Yeah. You might get that someday, but anyway. All right, here's what it is. You ready? It is the assembly of those who have been called out of the world to follow Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what the church really is. How many of you know the church is not a building? The church building is the facility that facilitates the church. And I'm very thankful for a facility, praise God. But on the flip side, let's not ever confuse that this building is not the church. Come on, am I right? That we, corporately, are the church. We are the church. We are the church. The building isn't the church. TV isn't the church. What you see anywhere, no, that's not the church. What is the church? It's us. We, the people of the church. We, the people that have a born-again relationship with God. We who have said, Jesus, come into my life, lead my life. I'm willing to lay down my life for you, Jesus. I want to follow you, and I want to be baptized. I want to follow you in Jesus' name. That's the church. I think about just my life, and I don't know about your world and your religious background, but I can assure you from my world, I can tell you, everything great that has came into my life has come through the local church. Everything. I think back to whenever I got born again. Whenever I got born again, it was at Fairview Baptist Church over there on Vail Avenue. Pastor Curtis Southwood was the pastor there at the time. And they did an altar call. I went forward and I gave my heart to Christ. And a man named Mr. Webster, his wife played the piano. Maybe some of you may or may not know them. But they led me to the Lord through the sinner's prayer. How did I get saved? Through the local church. I was later baptized in that same church. Baptized. Where did I get baptized? In a local church. Local church. I remember about 16 years old, 15 years old, I was a rebellious kid and I didn't want to go to church, didn't want to do anything. But we had a drug problem in our family. You were drugged to church sometimes. So they were on a Friday night, they were going to now understand, I'm 16 years old, all right? And they're going to take me to this thing called a good old-fashioned gospel sing. Now, if you're 16 years old, there is such a contradiction in all that. Good old-fashioned gospel sing. There ain't nothing good about it. Old-fashioned, count me out, all that. And it was between Kokomo and Muncie. There was a white church. It was there up until just a few years ago. They tore it down. It was on the left-hand side if you were going east. And that church, they had the Isaacs there. And the Isaacs was a Southern gospel group. They were there. And here I am, 16 years old, in that church. And they're twanging and banging and scrubbing. And blow, they were doing their thing, man. And I'm telling you, I'm just like, I just hate that. And I'm telling you, something was going on in that place, though. I'm serious. I could feel the presence of God. That was something I was not accustomed to. I was not used to feeling the presence of God, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. But there was something about it that was drawing me, but at the same time, I was like, I'm supposed to be 16 and rebellious, and I'm supposed to hate this stuff. And I found my heart in such a, but I tell you, it was the local church. It was a local church doing something that was impacting people. I think about even my wife. My wife, I could date her as long as I went to the local church. Everything, the first time I ever served, I was dating Michelle. This is before we even got married. And they told us we needed to serve in the nursery. My first servant opportunity was in the nursery, and I didn't even have kids. That's when I loved them. Just kidding. But it was cool. And you know what was cool about that? I served in that local church, and before I even got married, and you know, later on, matter of fact, within the last year, I had the opportunity of marrying. I did the wedding ceremony. I did the wedding ceremony of one of those young girls we used to teach in that little Sunday school class. How cool is that, huh? It was very cool. Brittany Jackson was her name. Maybe some of you might know her. I got to do her wedding. How cool is that? Because it was the local church. The local church. It was the local church. The local church. First time I started teaching the Bible was in the local church. I think about all the things that are cool. It's all connected to the local church. The local church. I'm telling you, I don't know if you love the local church, but I'm praying that through this message, you'll fall in love with this local church. You will fall in love with it. Now, let me just preface it and say it this way. The local church comes in all kinds of different flavors. How many of you believe that? All kinds of different flavors, comes in all kinds of different colors, all kinds of different likes and dislikes. Matter of fact, get this, it comes in all different kinds of cultures, right? How many of you hear what I'm saying right now? Yeah, it comes in all different types of cultures, all different kinds of genres, all different kinds of everything. So the church, the local church, is not one stereotype of thing. It comes in very multitude of different styles and different things. But here's the main point that you need to know. You need to know that we are all under the same blood of Jesus that saved us all, praise God. Isn't that right? Because the truth of the matter is the local church, the great thing about the local church is we're supposed to be streamed. growing through diversity. We're supposed to be diversified on purpose, because through our diversity, we can reach a multitude of different people, praise God. Everybody get that? So I pray that you fall in love with the local church this morning. Now, let me just kind of tell you why I believe the local church is absolutely awesome and you should fall in love with it. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus loves the local church. How many of you want to love what Jesus loves? All right, Jesus absolutely loves the local church. He absolutely loves it. Think about it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. As Christ loved the church. Understand this. The church did not come because man wanted church. Church came because Jesus birthed the church. Y'all hear what? Man did not originate church. God did. The local church is God's way of encountering the world. It's God's expression on the earth. Let me say it this way. It is the place and point of contact for God in the earth. It is the way God impacts the world. The local church. Did y'all get that? The local church. So let me ask you this. Do you think we need more of Jesus in the world? If we do, the local church is the key. If we need more of Jesus in the earth, it's the local church's responsibility to bear that out. Come on, amen? Amen. Look at this now. It says this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So how did Jesus love his church? He loved her sacrificially. Do you guys believe that? He's talking about, you know, in a marriage, that a husband should lay down his life for his wife and bride. Come on, amen? And like I tell all the young people that I meet with for marriage counseling, I ask the young men oftentimes, I say, listen, are you ready to die? Now, if you're single and you're dating, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But if you've been married for 21 years, you know exactly. You can get a witness, and you won't even raise your hand right now because you're scared. But the truth of it is, we all know that if you're going to have a successful marriage, somebody's got to die. And God has asked that the man, sorry dudes, we get to die. We get to go fishing later, but we got to die. Right? You got to die. You got to die. Why? Because Jesus gave up his life for his church. Amen? And as men, we've been called with the responsibility of laying down our lives for our family and our wives. Amen? Check this out. Look at this. This is another verse that kind of speaks to it. It says, now, we are the body of Christ and members what? Individually. We are, listen to this. We are corporately the body of Christ, but individually we are members of that body. Well, I got a question for you. Going with the marriage analogy. How many of you, when you got married, you walked up and you said, you know what, honey? I love your head, but your body, whoo! How many of you know that marriage is destined to fail? Come on. How many of you know you don't go and marry the head and not the body? How many of you know you get the whole package when you get married? All the personalities, all the... Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Try and clean it up. We're in church. I know. Don't lie. Don't lie. You get it all when you're in church, when you get married. Am I right? You get the whole gamut. You get the, listen, but there are a lot of people that love Jesus and they yet say, but I don't love the church. I don't love the local church. I don't love the church. That's like saying, I want to marry your head, but your body I want to leave behind. No, no, the truth of the matter is you can't fall in love with the head and not have the body. It's a package deal. When you say I love God, then you're supposed to love the local church. And if you say, I love God, but I don't love the local church, then you have a problem with the body of Christ. You have issues. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It doesn't work well. It doesn't work well. Because the goal is to be saved and love the head and the body. Think about it. Jesus said this. How do I fulfill? They came to him and said, how do we fulfill all the law? He said, these two things, and you got it all. You ready? Here it is. You will love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and everything you got. Come on, amen? How many of you know that's easy? It's easy to love perfection. It's easy to love God, y'all. It really is. God's perfect. He's awesome. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's done so many things for us. It's easy to love him. You ready? And you will love your neighbor as yourself. Where the rubber meets the road, for loving your neighbor as yourself, is the local church. There's no greater place than to put that to the test than the local church. The local church is the key to you learning how to love your neighbor. Say, how is that possible, Pastor Charlie? You love everybody. In my heart, I do. No, for real. Can I be for real? You ready? Are there people that rub you wrong when you come to church sometimes? Yes. 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 You know, I've been cussed out by church people. Which is amazing to me. You know? Not lately. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No, but on a serious note, there are some things about the local church that you might struggle with. And it may be legit. It may be legit. But here's the deal. Here's the reality. You ready? The church is the people. How many of you are perfect this morning? Raise your hand if you're that egotistical. All right? How many of you know you have imperfections? All right, here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to accept the body of Christ, each and every one of you. I'm asking you to accept that other people are flawed too and love them in spite of it. And love them in spite of it. Because that's what God does with us. God loves us in spite of our own imperfections. Come on, I'm right. I know. I know. All right? Listen, we're to love each other in spite of our own imperfections. In spite. Matter of fact, if you've been on this planet very long at all, there are things about you that you don't even like. So get over it. Know that you're a part of the body of Christ and love people. Amen. Amen. Check this out. Let me show you this. After we come out of 1 Corinthians, there are several things that you need to know as far as the implications of loving the body. Number one, if Jesus loves the church, shouldn't you love the church? Yeah, absolutely. Watch this. If he loves the church, shouldn't we defend the church? Shouldn't we? See, there are people over there in the Middle East that are being killed because all they do is want to worship Jesus. Should we pray for them and lift them up and do everything we can to free them? Absolutely, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should. We should care about them. We should care about them. Should we care that down in South Carolina, 9 precious people of God were killed after a Bible study? Should we care about that? Absolutely. They are a part of the body of Christ, saved under the same blood that we are. We should care. We should care. Should we care that we sometimes have a tyrannical government that wants to trample on the rights of Christians? Should we care? If you don't know anything about me, I love studying Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a gentleman who was during the Nazis. Well, before the Nazis, he was a predominant preacher in Germany. And he saw the Nazis taking power from the people and the government being turned over to Hitler. In about 1938, he believed, and it was really pretty much widely known, that the German people were right on the verge of ousting Hitler in the Nazi party. It was right on the edge. And he stood up with what was called the Confession Church at that point in time. He stood up and said, "Church, stand up against this. This is bad. This is evil. This is wicked." And history has proven he was right. But did the church stand up? No, they didn't stand up for the Jews. They didn't stand up. Well, guess what? Shortly after that, word of that got out, they came and they got them. They came and got a lot of those preachers, locked them up in jail, and most of them ended up dying as martyrs. Why? Because they loved God, and they seen what was happening to the churches. So should we stand up for the local church? Absolutely. Have I put myself at odds sometimes with the community, whatever, because I feel like the church is being stepped on? Yes. Will I continue? Yes. Why? Because we are the hope of the world. This is the one thing that Jesus has called us to be, hope and light to a fallen world. And if we don't do it, we're damaging ourselves. Listen to this. The Bible says this: you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing and to be trampled upon. Come on, let's not never be trampled upon. Let's be salt and light to the earth. Amen. Amen. Look at this. If he loves the church, shouldn't we care about the church? Come on, we should care about the church. If he, Jesus, loves the church, shouldn't we seek its growth and its prosperity? Come on, absolutely. Here's what you'll find in history. 6,000 years of human history that we know of, for sure. All right? In 6,000 years of human history, we know that every government and every group that has ever set its face against the church collapses. Everyone that blesses it prospers. That should tell us something, that God is for his church. And individually, we should be for the local church. Absolutely, absolutely. Now check this out. Let me show you another thing here. To be separated from the life of the church is to separate you from the will of God in your life. It's pretty hard. I may come back to this at the end. To be faithless to the church is to be faithless to Christ, his body. Y'all get that? I know it's pretty heavy, but you need to hear it. Check this out. Let me show you another thing, and I need to quit saying check this out. Why people don't love the church. Let me just kind of address some of these things of why people don't love the church. Number one, here it goes. Churches hurt people. How many of you believe that's true? It's true. It is true. I'm not going to stand up here and deny that churches don't hurt people. All right? I will tell you this. I don't believe it's the heart of church people to hurt church people. I believe sometimes we just hurt people. Have you ever hurt anybody's feelings? Yeah. Have you ever been hurt? Yeah. Let me ask you something even better. Have you ever had a job? All right? Have you ever been hurt at your job? Has anyone ever said something or said something about you that really hurt you? Yeah? Yeah, absolutely. Did you quit your job? No. I mean, if you did, you're unemployed. And you're looking for a new job where people won't hurt you. And then you'll quit that job because someone will inevitably hurt you. And then you'll move from job to job to job. Because why? The whole world's messed up and you're perfect. I mean, no, that's not true. Listen, here's the reality. You ready? People do hurt people in churches. And I will tell you, as far as staff and team here, man, it is never our intent to hurt people. We want to grow people, not hurt people. Now, let me just say this. Do sometimes people get hurt? Yeah. Pastor Charlie, do you ever get hurt? Yeah, you should see some of the things said about Charlie Riley. I mean, I think it was just a year and a half ago. Rumor was I left Michelle and I moved to South Bend to start a church. All right, now let me just say this. I would never move to South Bend. That's north. That's not south. If I'm moving anywhere, it's south, praise God. And I'm not leaving my wife for no crazy people. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying? Things are said about people all the time. The enemy loves that. And here's the deal, though. The enemy loves for you to get hurt in church. So I've just kind of made a vow that I'm just never going to allow church to hurt me. It may hurt my feelings for a day, but I'm not going to live with it. I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to love people beyond their imperfections. Pastor Charlie, I've been cussed out in Jesus' name. For real. Did I love the individual beyond that? Yes, I did. Let me tell you about an individual who cussed me out better than any of you probably ever could. Come to find out, he had the onset of dementia and no one knew it. And I didn't raise my voice at him. I accepted everything he said. And I said, I'm sorry you feel that way and I love you. He walked out. He told me never to mention it to anybody in his family. And I said, it won't. He walked out. And that was the end of that. Shortly after that, they found out. And I'm so thankful to this day that I didn't rear back at him. So thankful I didn't. Because I had no idea what he was going through. Come on, I'm trying to say something here. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You never know what someone's going through. So maybe someone didn't greet you as you came in, although we have great greeters. Oh, maybe the usher wasn't polite to you until, maybe so, we have great usher. Listen, don't allow those things to separate you from the body of Christ. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Because people are going to hurt people. Yes, I get it. But you don't quit your job every time somebody says something. So please don't leave your local church. And let me just say this. If you do leave our church, get plugged immediately right back into another local church. Get plugged right back in. Don't let there be a time lapse. I'll show you why. Check this out. As far as church, here in just a second. Here's another reason people don't love church. It's just not a priority in their life. They don't make it a priority, and I hear it all the time. Pastor Charlie, I experience Jesus every Sunday on the golf course. Well, aren't you spiritual? And again, I understand people have jobs. I understand people have lives. I've told people, if you're here 52 weeks out of the year, you need a life and a vacation. Okay? It's okay to miss a Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. Please don't paint it that way. What I'm talking about is church just isn't a priority. It's just not a priority in my life. Because after all, Pastor Charlie, I can experience Jesus on the golf course. I can experience Jesus on my bass boat. I can experience Jesus hanging with my friends. I can experience Jesus at my car club. I can experience Jesus. Here's the deal. The truth of the matter is, you're right. You can experience Jesus in any number of ways. All right? But never confuse talking to Jesus and having a relationship with God with having a relationship with his church. There is a vast difference. There is a difference between you experiencing God and you being a part of the church. There's a difference. Don't say they're the same. They're not. They're not. The truth of the matter is, let me just tell you something. Church should be a priority in your life. It should be a priority. There's something, I can't even describe it. I don't even know how exactly it works, but here's what I do know. I do know there is a vast difference between a family who will grab up those crumb snatchers on a Sunday morning, scream and yell, have fits. You make it to the car only to get to the car and realize that somebody forgot something and they go back in for 12 minutes and no one knows where they're at. You wonder if they're taking time on the commode. They finally come out and you ask them, what did you get? And you find out it's the iPod or it's the earphones or it's the, can I get a witness in the house of God? You finally get, and then the wife's uncomfortable. I don't know if these shoes work. They work fine. Get in the car. They work. All right? There's something that's happening. You drive up to the church. Kids are screaming. You grab them. Here's kids ministry. Pow. You come down here, it takes you a song and a half to shake off what happened that morning. Get your heart right with God. Get saved again. Consider water baptism. And then now you're ready for the word. I don't know what happens, but I can assure you of this. That family's on the right track, even though it seems crazy. That family's on the right track. I would rather pay the price there than have my kids, and we've had families and we've had fathers and mothers in my office where I've had to talk to them, and their kids are 16, 17, 18 years old, and they're looking at me going, Pastor Charlie, what can I do? Okay, time out. I do help them, and I do my very best to help them. That question should have been asked when they were 2 years old. What can I do to help them? Because the reality is, you start sowing seed in them when they are young, so that when they grow old, they shall not depart. Yes. Amen? That's the goal. So those of you that are fighting that fight, man, I'm with you. I was the pastor of this church when we first started, and I literally felt like I had to get saved before I walked in and preached the gospel every Sunday, because Michelle inevitably would run me late. I like to be here early. We ended up driving separate for several years while we started the church. Why? Because I was a wreck by the time I got to the platform. I'm like, We would start out, no, I'm exaggerating, but just for the sake of the illustration, let's everyone give their heart to Christ today, and then we'll start preaching the gospel. That's how I felt. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? But listen to this. Both of my kids love God. And even though now my daughter can drive all on her own, she comes to all three services. Not because, well, I think because we eat after church, But on a serious note, my kids still love to come to church, even though they're 16 and 18. And let me just tell you, it's been taught to them since they were young to love God's people and God's church. And I don't take any of it back. I don't take any of it back. So listen, parents, make church a priority. Make church a priority. Make church a priority. I know sometimes it's a pain. I get it. I know sometimes you're ready to pull. I get it. But make it a priority. Because here's the reality. Your kids see if you don't make it a priority. And don't be shocked if it's not a priority in their life. Amen? Come on, that's good. Listen to this. Hebrews 10:25, to give you a Bible verse to go along with it. And let us consider one another and stir up love and what? Good works. Look at this. Not forsaking, come on, the assembling of ourselves together. Watch this. As the manner of some is. Huh. As the manner of some. But exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day what? Approaching. Approaching. Listen, here's what he's saying. You should want to be together, and even more, the closer we get to the return of Christ, we should all the more want to be together. Jolene and Eric, I seen you guys at the fair, didn't I? It was awesome, huh? Sat there and talked about a truck in that Mustang, 50th anniversary, that if when you open the door, the light comes on and it's the Mustang emblem on the ground. That's flat out cool. Useless, but cool. I seen them, I sat there and talked to them 5 or 10 minutes. I love God's people. I love God's people. And it's very hard for me to wrap my mind around people that don't love to see God's people. I love it. I just love it. We're going to be in heaven together someday, right? If we can't fall in love with the local church here, how are we going to be there? What, you going to, you know, be like the Alaskan front and live out on the nowhere and fly in once a month or something? That's not going to work. I'm going to stop right there. I love what Billy Graham said. Here's what Billy Graham said. Sometimes the best words are simplest words are the best. Churchgoers are like coals of fire. When they cling together, they keep the flame aglow. Watch this. And when they separate, they will die. You know what the enemy's job is? To separate you. Separate you one from another. Separate church from church. Separate races from races. Separate. Separate the church within the church. Ooh, they got a little club and they got a little clique and they got a this and they got a that and they got a this. Man, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. That is not God's plan. God never wants us to be separated from the local church. Never. There is never, I can assure you of the will of God for your life in this area. God never wants you to be separated from a local church. If you don't love this one, find the one you can love. Because that is the key to your spiritual growth. And it's the key for you and your family to grow. Amen? All right, check this out. Look at this. Here's the last reason people do not love the church. I hate to say it, but it's sin. It's sin. Sin. Now, let me just assure you of this. Before we even go there, I'm here to tell you, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? We all had issues, and we all have issues. All right? Jesus took care of our sin issue 2,000 years ago. Say, Pastor Charlie, you got people in your church with sin. You better believe we do. We got people that struggle with alcoholism. We got people that are addicted to porn. We got people that are homosexuals. We got people that struggle with fornication. We've got people that cuss like a sailor. We got people with addiction issues. Say, oh, the church. No, no, here's the truth. Here's where they need to be. So if you're here today and you're struggling with, hey, listen, first of all, I'm not going to call your sin something else. Your issue, your problem, you didn't get a teddy bear when you were 4 years old deal. All right? I'm not talking about that. I'm telling you, if you've got issues, come on. You're welcome here. We will love you. We will minister to you. We will let the Word of God work in your life. The Holy Spirit will do a work in you, and He can set you free, praise God. Amen? Amen. So don't think you have to be cleaned up to come. No, no. You get here, and then God starts doing the cleaning work. All right? And the more you stay away from here, the less clean and the more dirty you'll end up being. Right? All right. So that's one. But number two, let me just say this. There are folks that hate the church because it is the light. Let me show you this, John. Matter of fact, that's what we were sharing with the kids at VBS, Matthew 5:16. And do we have any kids from VBS in here? Matthew 5:16. Do you remember it? Come on, say it. You know it. Let your light. Here, say it with me. You ready? Let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew. All right. Good job. Good job. I teased Michelle. I said, Michelle, could you have got a longer Bible verse? Let your light so shine. You know, but those kids did a remarkable job. Remarkable job. And here was our point with VBS, to invest in them and let them know they are the light of the earth. They are the light of the world. Jesus said that right here. Check this out. Matthew 16:18 also says it this way. I skipped. John 3:20. It says, for everyone who practices evil hates the what? Hates the light. Hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be what? Exposed. First time I ever had an encounter with this, I was working at Wabash National over in Lafayette whenever I first got out of the military. And there was a young man there. He was Indian. And when I say Indian, I'm talking not all, dot, not feather type deal. Some of you get that later. But we were there, and I was telling him, and he served foreign gods. And we got to talking religion. And me, I'm just being a Christian. I'm just letting my light shine, and I'm witnessing to him, telling him about Jesus and all that stuff. And I'm telling him about it. And that night, we went home. Everything was cool. I thought it was all good. So I come back the next day to work. I get in there, and I go back. He worked in the Wash Bay area. I walk back in there, and he's like, he starts getting in my face. An Indian. And I don't even know what your problem is. And he kept getting in my face. And I thought, brother, if you... I will lay hands on you suddenly, rapidly. So a manager got in between us. And I'll be honest with you. I was calm the whole time. I really was. I didn't lose my temper because, honestly, I was a little confused. You ever been caught like that? I was like, what? What's going on here? So he's yelling at me, and I'm thinking, okay, this is odd. And finally, the dude calmed down, and basically, well, first of all, they had to move him to another plant because he's just flipping out on me. And I never done nothing to the guy, you know? But how many of you know you don't mess with the Indian folks, apparently? So I asked the manager, I said, what was his deal? He said that you angered his gods. Way to go. You angered his gods. And I thought that was interesting because this is what the Bible says. For everyone who practices evil hates the light. ISIS hates us because we're Christians. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We are the light. The world hates us. Not everybody in the world. I'm talking about the demonic world. They hate us because we are the light. We are the light. Don't be surprised if some people don't just hate you because you're you. Seriously, don't be shocked. Don't be fooled. Know that some people do not like you because you are the light of the earth. And that's all right. You are the light of the earth, a city which cannot be hidden. You're set to let your light so shine before men that they could see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. So don't allow sin to separate you from the house of God either. That was my nutshell of what I'm trying to say there. Don't let sin, don't allow hurt, don't allow your own little issues, don't allow that. If you love Jesus, you should love the local church. Amen. All right, let's preach on. Number two, you ready? I'm only on two, but I'm almost done. Jesus promised he would build his church. If there was a reason, let's say you don't understand the idea that Jesus loves the church. I want you to understand this one. Jesus promised to build his church. Look at this. This is in the Gospel of Matthew 16, 18. I also say to you, you are Peter, and upon this what? Rock I will what? Build my church. Jesus is saying it this way, and I'm going to simplify it for you so that everybody hears me crystal clear. First of all, there's no place in the Bible Jesus said he would build anything other than this verse. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. The church is God's idea, not man's idea. I will build my church. I will. And listen to this. Here's what I come to the revelation to a long time ago. If I want to be built, I need to hook myself to what Jesus said he would build. If I hook myself to what Jesus said he would build, and if I know that the church is the people, not a building, then I know that God's got to build me to build his church. So if you want to be built, connect yourself to what Jesus is building, and you will get the overflow, the byproduct of what God said he would build. You are the church. Jesus said he wants to build his church. If you will plug into what he said, he can't help but build you in the process. He wants to build you. He wants to build you. But if you're not plugged in, if you're not doing something, if you're not active with your faith in the local church, you won't be built. This is why people come to church Sunday after Sunday, but they're never really building their faith. I've asked people, why weren't you at church? I missed you, you know? I was depressed. You were depressed, and I get that. People struggle with depression, I understand. So you stood home, you stayed at home, and you didn't come to the local church where we encounter the presence of God, where people can pray and believe for you to be free. You stayed away from the place that really could give you hope and freedom. Why would you do that? How many of you know that's the plan of the enemy right there? To keep people separated from it. Keep you separated from it. No, the truth of the matter is if you want to be strong as a believer, connect yourself to what Jesus is building. That is the local church. You think about all the things that the church has withstood. The Roman Empire came and gone, and the church is still here. During that first, the church, when it was first birthed under Nero, they would literally take Christians, hang them on a flagpole, pour oil over them, and light them on fire. How many of you know that's some persecution right there? Huh? They would not only do that, they would put them in big arenas and allow animals to attack them. They were subhuman people in that world. And the church still thrived to the point that it transformed the government and Christianity became the state religion. I'm not saying we go that way. I'm just saying Christianity impacted the world, even under severe persecution. The point is, you can't kill all these dynasties, the Ottoman Empire, the Nazis, Hitler. Do you know, the Hitler and the Nazis, they tried to wipe out the church right after the Jews. They didn't want anything in opposition. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And the church survived. For 2,000 years, Jesus said, I will build my church. For 2,000 years, it has withstood the test of time, and there is nothing that the devil, hell, or anybody else can do to destroy the church. Amen? See, you got on a train that was already moving, and if you get off the train, that's okay. The train keeps moving. This thing ain't going to stop. I promise you it isn't going to stop. I promise you it isn't going to stop. So you should love the church, number one, because Jesus loves it. You should love the local church because you know what? There isn't nothing you can do. Jesus promised to build it, and he will build his church. It is the greatest place to grow spiritually, to grow emotionally, to be free, to have healing. I mean, it is the greatest place on this planet, the local church. Praise God. I tell you, it just blows me. How about this one? I'm going to stop right after this one. You ready? Well, here's what I'm trying to say. The local church is uniquely gifted for the spiritual success of every believer. Only the church can do that. Here's the last one. the last reason you should love the church. Jesus is returning for his church. You know what that tells me? That tells me no matter what happens on this planet, at the very end of this thing, the church is still going to be here. Smiling, preaching, loving, empowering, investing, working, doing everything we can to show people the love of God. See, the truth of the matter is the local church is the place that gives voice to the kingdom of God. It gives it voice. If we weren't here, the world would be a very, very dark place. Very dark place. We are the hope of the world. We, Abundant Life Church, I mean, I told you last week, we heard from you never know who we're impacting. Last week I told you about we reached, North Pole, Alaska. I mean, I didn't even know that was a place. I mean, pretty powerful thing. And you say, that's just you, Pastor. No, it isn't. It's us. It's us. Every great preacher on TV is a part of a local church. Yeah, had somebody after first service said, well, you know, I love Jimmy Swaggart. And I'm like, oh, that's all right. He's a local church. He's in a local church. They broadcast a local church service. You love the local church. Why? But here's my point. Here's my point. Staying home watching on the internet with our technology is good, but if you could be here, you should be here. That's not the same. And we love our internet people, and we love our radio people. People that work on Sunday, we provide that as an outreach to love on people. Man, I'm game up. I'm all about it. But don't confuse that with being at church. Don't confuse that, because there's a difference. You need to rub up against other people that are of the same belief. You need to rub up against the body of Christ. Come on, amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God. I'm done.